We are on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. We got to the two dafts on the top. The Gemara quotes a mnemonic: Rechov Teva Sakim Efer Kura Maria Simon. That's supposed to be a preview of what's to come. So the Gemara goes through all the various details that were needed for a tainus, the whole set of tainus we discussed in Mishnah yesterday. The Gemara says Lama Yotun L'Rechov. Why would they take the Teva? Why would they go out to the streets to daven on a tainus or this particular tainus? We screamed out in Tzina, the base Knesses. We weren't answered. Let's go embarrass ourselves in public, and hopefully that extra bizoy will get a Kadosh Baruch Hu to answer our tefillas. Reish Lakish Amar Galinu, we were exiled. Galusenu Mechaperes Aleinu. We were sent out of our base, we removed ourselves from the base Knesset, so let this gullus that we find ourselves in now, not real gullus, but even in Eretz Yisrael, meaning they left outside the base Knesset, let that be a kapara for us. Seems pretty similar. So my benai, what's the difference between Rabbi Chiya and Reish Lakish? So ikka benai, the gullu mi beik nishto le beik nishto. Let's say you leave one shul to go daven in a different shul. According to Reish Lakish, that's considered gullus because you're not in your normal place of davening, you're elsewhere, so that's going to serve the purpose of, you don't have to necessarily go to the Rechov, it's enough to go to a different location to daven, even though it's inside. But according to Bechia, the whole idea is to be befarhesia, dafka, outside, so going from one shul to another shul is not going to do it, you have to actually be outside to accomplish this din. Then the Gemara asks, Lama motzin es hateva l'rechova? So, okay, we know why we daven outside, but why we bring the Teva, the Aron Kodesh, which held the Sefer Torah, why would that go outside as well? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yishu ben Levi, Lomar, Kol Kli Tzanua Hayalanu.
Hold on. With the previous point, where does it say that Galut from one place to the other? Because they're both speaking about going out the street. Right?
No, we want to know what's Nafka Mina. He
said, Zak Mitzina, Velonim, Nevazetz Mufaresia.
Right.
And then
the nafkamina between the two of them is going from one shul to the next shul. Rabbi Chiya says the whole point is being out in public.
What does it say?
Say what?
That they're going from one shul to the other shul.
That's the Gemara says, by benayu, ik benayu, the galu mi beik nishta le beik nishta. The difference is going from one shul to the other shul. That's the difference between the two opinions.
What do you say? What do you see it?
I just read the Gemara.
The Gemara says, but it doesn't explicitly.
I explained it. That's what the explanation is.
Okay.
Yeah. Rashi explains in a few words, but that's what the explanation is. That's the my banal means. What's the difference between the two opinions? What's an actual?
I understand the answer, but where they get that answer from?
Oh, that's.
No, he didn't say that they're going from one shul to the other.
But the Gemara says my banal ik banal mi beik nishta le beik nishta. What does that mean? That means that's the difference between the two of them. So the way you explain it is like I just explained. So then the Gemara says lama motin es ateva. The Rechova Shalir, why do we bring the Teva outside to the streets also? Some Rabbi Shubin Levi, Lomar Kli Tzanua Hayalanu. We had a Kli Tzanua, the Teva, which was in a hidden place in the Shul. And now we're getting embarrassed with our sins. And Rashi says through Vidoy, we're trying to get more disgrace to Kadosh Baruch Hu should answer us from added Bizoy. For Lama Miskasin Bisakim, so why do we cover ourselves with all this sackcloth, all this? These clothing of mourning. So Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Lomar Harei Anu Chashuvin Kebehema, that we should be viewed by Kadosh Baruch Hu like an animal. What does that mean, viewed like an animal? So Rashi explains, Kebehema Dimisayar Behema Ninu. It comes from Minuta Shel Izim. It came from a goat, the wool of a goat. So they'd that's what they would wear. So why do we want to be viewed like an animal to Kadosh Baruch Hu? So what's the value in that? So Rashi doesn't really explain that. See what's shot here. Why do we want to be viewed like a behemoth? Why is that the idea?
במעשה זה אומרים לפני הקדוש ברוך הוא, השגחתך שרה מעלינו בעוונותינו ואיננו נחשבים אלא כבהמות. In that action, he's saying as if you removed your shgacha pratit and we consider it like behema.
Okay, that's in the ear, he says, yeah.
Shirak me adam mushgachim b'shgacha pratit, met Hashem. Aval b'alei chayim mushgachim b'shgacha klalit bilvad. What? Okay. I don't agree.
Okay. Fine. So then the Gemara says, "Lama nosen efer mikla gabe teva." Why we place his ashes on top of the teva? So Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi kolomar imo anochi b'tzara. So the pasuk that's found in Yeshaya says that Kadosh Baruch Hu is with you. Sorry, in Tehillim rather, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is always with us in the tzar. So this is kind of to explain that the teva, which represents the Shechina, has ashes on it. Also, Kadosh Baruch Hu is also with us in the tzar that we're experiencing. Then Reish Lakish Amar bechol tarasam lo tzar. In all our tzar, in all our pain, Kadosh Baruch Hu is also in pain as well. I think it's just a different pasuk. I'm not sure if there's a difference between the two, other than a different source that's being brought. Some Reb Zera Mireish ki ava chazina lehu l'rabbanon. In the beginning, Reb Zera said, when I initially saw people, the chachamim, the yahiv efer mikla gavi teva, when they would place ashes on the teva, mizdazeya, I would tremble, li kula guf, my entire body, I was so scared. What are you doing by putting ashes on the teva? But lama nosen efer bro, so that's what he initially had felt. But I guess after learning the halachas, he realized that this was a good reason. Based on these psukim that we're bringing, it made a lot of sense. Then the Gemara asks, "Lama nosen efer barosh kol echad v'echad?" So why do you place ashes on the head of every single individual as well? In addition to the teva, in addition to the rosh, the nasi and the rosh bezdin, we also everyone has to place ashes on the head. What's the significance of ashes on each person's head? So pligi bar Rabbi Levi bar Chama Rabbi Chanina. So machlokas amarim, echad amar harei anu chashuvim l'vnecha ki efer, echad amar kadesh shi'izkor lanu efaro shel Yitzchak. One thinks the reason why we place ashes on our head is that we should be viewed to Kadosh Baruch Hu as if we are ashes, nothing of importance. We're nothing. We're completely anavim. We're humble. We're meaningless. And the other opinion felt, no, it's supposed to remember the Eifar Shel Yitzchak. Well, obviously Yitzchak wasn't shechted and wasn't brought to Karban, but what was supposed to be of Yitzchak Avinu, the Kedesh Yitzchak. That's what it's supposed to remind us of. Okay, so the Gemara says here, my benai, what's the difference between the two of them? Is there a nafkamina? Says the Gemara, around like halfway down the narrow lines, ikabinayu afar stam. Let's say you simply take dirt, not efer, dirt. If you take dirt, so that makes sense according to the first opinion that we should be viewed by Akash Baruch Hu as nothing. So afar will accomplish the same thing as efer. Either way, it's something meaningless. It's dirt, it's ashes. But according to the second opinion, it's dafka efer with an alpha. You need ashes because only the ashes is going to remind the Akash Baruch Hu of the afar shel Yitzchak, but dirt will not. So that's the difference between these two opinions, two reasons why we put ashes on our head. Dirt would suffice as well, according to one opinion, but not according to the other opinion. So then, lama yotzin lebeis kvaros. Why do we go out to the cemeteries? Why is that part of the process of the tainus? So pligi bar Rebbe Levi bar Chama b'chanina. This two is a machlokas amaraim, the same two individuals. Chad amar harei anu chashuvim f'vnecha k'mesim, that we should be viewed by Kadosh Baruch Hu as mesim. And Chad Amar Kidesh, the reason I guess is just to be humble and anivus. The Chad Amar Kidesh Shivakshu Aleinu Mason Rachman. Very, very powerful, interesting Gemara. Says Gemara that we should ask of the Mason Rachman. It's a very controversial Gemara here right now. So let's just get to Nachmina before I address that for a moment. My Benai, what's the difference? Ika Benai Kivrei Akum. Should you go to a non-Jewish cemetery? So if its idea is simply to, it's supposed to be k'mesim, so who cares if it's a mace of Yisrael, a mace of Akum, as long as we're trying to be viewed as mesim, look us, we're in a base kfaros, that would suffice. But if the idea is to be yivakshu, rachamim, we want to ask the mesim for rachamim, it would only work from kivrei Yisrael, but not kivrei Akum. So, again, the controversial point here in the yivakshu, aleinu mesim, rachamim, we don't dive into dead people. We don't even dive into tzaddikim who are buried. We dive into Kadosh Baruch Hu. So what exactly did how we to understand this Gemara? It's a very, very controversial Gemara. So many explain that what it means is that that we're asking a Kadosh Baruch Hu for something in front of the Mesim, and the Mesim, not us asking the Mesim on their own, will somehow help plead for our case to Kadosh Baruch Hu. But Chas Hashem, are we davening to the Mesim themselves? We're davening in that area, and they'll maybe add they'll add some help to put in a plug in a good word for us as well. That's what most achronim explain to what it means. But again, we don't dive into Mason, we don't dive into Malachim either. We dive into Kadosh Baruch Hu. Malachim and Mason perhaps just help us out a little bit. So Tosus brings on the side here, Yotzin lebeis kvaros. He says, Mikan, Nogin, Bechol, Makom, Leilecha, Beis Kvaros, B'tishabav. From here, we find the custom that all over the place, says Tosos, that we go to the cemeteries on Tisha B'Av. Sherei Tisha B'Av have a Tainus Sibor, Kemosha Yosin Mipnei Agshamim. Tisha B'Av is also a Tainus Sibor. So therefore, that's the custom. I think it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch as well, that one should go to the Beit Kfaros on Tisha B'Av. Back to the Gemara now. The Gemara now asks, seems to be an irrelevant question, but we bring the question here because it's another machlokis between Rabbi Levi Bar Chama and Rabbi Chanina. The Gemara says, "My Har HaMoriah." What's the Lashon? What does mean Har HaMoriah? Why do we call the area where the Akedat Yitzchak took place as Har HaMoriah? So Gemara says, "Pligi Bar Rabbi Levi Bar Chama Rabbi Chanina." This too is a machlokis between these two Amaram. Chad Amar Har Sheyatzim Yenu Hora Yisrael. One opinion thinks because that's where Hora came out of Yisrael. What does it mean Hora came from this mountain? So Rashi says, Har Moriah, sorry, Chadamar Har Shiyatze Hora, Torah Yisrael, Ki Mitzion Tete Sara, Yoru Mishpatach LeYaakov. Because that's where the Hora comes from. That's where the Beis HaMikdash was ultimately built. And that's where the Hora comes. That's where the Sanhedrin sat in the Lishchas HaGazis, in or outside the Beis HaMikdash. So Ki Mitzion Tete Sara, that's the source of Hora. That was Rashi. The other opinion thinks, no, no, it's referring to not Hora, but Yira, fear. It's where the place of fear really expanded itself. The fear went to all of the Akum all throughout the world. Where do we find that? So says Rashi, Mora lo'ov de kochavim, sheshomim gedolos Yisrael v'yushalayim u'mispachtin aleim. They hear all the wonderful things that happen to Klai Yisrael and Yushalayim, it causes them a lot of fear. And Lishnachrina, this is the second opinion. This is a little bit hard to understand on Rashi. Har Moria Har Sinai Mor Lov Dikachavim B'Matan Torah Dichsev Eretz Yira V'Shakate. The Har Sinai Kabbalas Torah created a tremendous amount of pachad throughout Umos HaOlam. The hard part thing about this is Har Moria, where Kedis Yitzchak took place, is not the same place where Har Sinai is typically. So it's hard for us how to understand Rashi here that he's explaining that Har Sinai is the same thing as Har Moria. Right, the Marsha apparently asks this question also. Okay, so there, the Mitzvah Eisen talks about six different mountains. It could be talking about different mountains. Different mountains are called Har Moriah. Har Sinai is called Har Moriah. Also, maybe Har Bais is called Har Moriah. Okay. So the Chassam Sofer writes, this is a big Chiddush, that Akedat Yitzchak took place in Har Sinai. Not as we typically understand as Har Bais, but actually, yeah, it's talking about Har Sinai, and that's where Akedat Yitzchak took place. Okay. Very, very interesting. Okay, back to the Gemara now. We are at the two dots. It says the Gemara, quoting from the Mishnah, Hazakin Shebehen Omer Lefneim Divrei Kfushim. So the Zakin, the eldest member among them, would say certain words that would get them to do tshuva. So Tanur Abanan, Im Yesh Zakin Omer Zakin. If there's a Zakin there, so the Zakin is supposed to lead the Tzibur. Vimlav, if there's no Zakin, Omer Chacham, you should find the Tamar Chacham. Vimlav, if you can't find the Tamar Chacham, Omer Adam Shotsura, person of physical stature. Rashi writes, Sheltsura, he says, Baal Koma, somebody who's tall. She Yishmu V'yikabu Dvar V'lehamircha Es Lehalei, someone who's tall and gives off a strong appearance, scares an individual. Now, it sounds kind of strange that why would Baal Koma be considered one of the criteria, characteristics of a person leading the Tzibur? The truth is, we find in the end of the first parak of Sanhedrin, there's a whole list of criteria for who's going to be able to be a member of Sanhedrin. And one of them is Baal Koma, someone who's tall, someone who gives off a very strong appearance, someone who's 6'4", 6'5", comes off very powerful and creates a certain amount of fear in a person. So it is a factor. Tall guy.
Only 6 feet. You cannot be 6. I'm 6. You're taller than me.
She was 6 feet back then. It was pretty tall.
Yeah,
I think they used to be much shorter back then. Is that true?
Yeah, George Washington was huge. He was like 6'1". He was like 6'3", maybe.
But yeah.
He was like towered over. George Washington, how many years? 200 years ago? 200 something, yeah. He's talking about 3,000
years. Even more so. They say Paro of Mitzrayim was apparently very, very tall, and they found him, mummified, and he was like standing at 5'9", 5'10", or something like that. So back then it was very, very different. They didn't have the same eating that we have, or the same vitamins that we take, or whatever. So either way, so that back then, tall was only 5'9". I was probably considered huge. I was like as tall as Paro was.
Like an NBA player.
That's right. Okay, so Sending Gemara says, so again, so first you look for a Zakein. If no Zakein, you should find the Chacham. If no Chacham, you should look for Adam Shel Tzura. Says the Gemara now, up to Zakein de Kamri, then we refer to a Zakein, Af al Gav de Lav Chachamu. We're looking for a person who's old, but wasn't wise? That's hard to say. So Abaye tweaks it a bit. Amar Abaye, Hachi Kamar. This is what the Brisa meant to say. Im yesh Zakein vihu Chacham, Omer Zakein vihu Chacham. You should best thing to find is someone who's old and wise. Im Lav, if you can't find such a person, Omer Chacham, find someone who's wise, even though he's young, you could find, just settle for somebody who's a Chacham. Vim Lav, if you can't even find the Chacham, Omer Adam Shel Tzura, you should find someone who has a physical standing. So Achenu, what should he say? So he says, Achenu, lo sak v'tainis garmim, the sackcloth that we're wearing, and the fasting that we're doing, is not what's going to cause us to bring a Kadosh Baruch Hu, a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring rain to us. El tshuva ma'isim tovim garmim. It's going to be the tshuva, that the way we change our ways, that's what's going to bring answers from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shekein matzinu ba'anshe Ninveh, this is what we find by Ninveh, shelo nemar ben vayar alokim es sakam ves tanisam. We saw this in the Mishnah already. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't see what we were wearing, he didn't look at our fasting. Ella vayar alokim es maseyem kishavim midarcham. Hara, what he saw from Anshe Ninveh was that they stopped doing their bad ways and they started doing ma'isim tovim. It's all about the actions. Vizkasu sakam ha'adama v'habehema. Then the Gemara says, in addition to us donning sackcloth, we also had the animals wear sackcloth. So my hava, avde, asi behemas. So what was the purpose of this? So the question here, does Rashi explain what the question is? So what exactly did Ninveh do, that they caused tsar to the animals? I mean, why were the animals wearing sackcloth? That seems to be the question. Okay. So the Gemara says, they used to separate the mothers and the children, or the cows and the calves from each other, so they couldn't nurse, and that was the Tzar Ba'al Chayim. So that's what they did. And Amru Lefanov, so said Anshe Ninveh, Ribono Shel Olam, Im Ein Atah Merachem Aleinu, Ein Anu Merachem Al Elu. If you don't bring mercy to us, we're not going to have rachmim on these animals. Very interesting way to negotiate with the Kadosh Baruch Hu.
That's how it is.
The truth is, this is what the Tzar writes. What did you say?
That's how
it is. That's how he lives, to negotiate with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. So that's what they say, that that's the idea behind Shulach HaKan, by the way. Shulach HaKan, very interesting mitzvah. You send away the mother bird. And Al-Pi Zohar is a very, very chashuv mitzvah, because they explain as follows in the Zohar, that when you send away the mother bird, so that gets the malach of the animals to get very, very upset and starts feeling very bad for the mother bird that was sent away from its children or from its eggs. So the malach is very upset. And Kadosh Baruch Hu says, if this malach is so upset over this mother and the bird, the little chicks, so I, Kadosh Baruch Hu, should also be upset about my children, Bnei Yisrael. So it brings out rachmim for Kadosh Baruch Hu to have mercy on us. So it's a very chashuv mitzvah, Shulach HaKan. The same idea here by you separating the mothers and the children from the calves from the cows, that really brings rachmim from Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, then the Gemara says, Vayikru Elokim b'chazaka. Then they call out to Kadosh Baruch Hu with strength. So where this pasuk is in Yonah, this is all about Anshe Ninveh. So my Amro, what do they say? Amru l'fanav Ribono Shel Olam, Aluv v'sheinu Aluv, Tzadik v'Rasha. Someone who's disgraced, someone who's not disgraced, someone who's a Tzadik, someone who's a Rasha. Mi nidcha mipnei mi. Who's going to push over who?
Ninveh people was Jewish?
No.
Oh, so why?
That's the whole story of Yonah, that he didn't really want to go to them. He knew they would answer his calling, and he didn't want it to look bad for Klal Yisrael.
So the question is, why he went to an Akum place?
Kadosh Baruch Hu told him to.
Yes, so what's the inyan?
I don't know. So what's the idea here?
Is there such a thing, Tshuva, with a goy?
Yeah, from these psukim we find that there is, yeah. Okay, so what's this pasuk teaching us here? So we see from here, tzaddik is pushed away Russia. And therefore, I guess, the fact that they're changing their ways, so therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should listen to them and grant them tshuva. That seems to be what they're calling out to Hashem. And then it says, Vayeshuvu ish midarcho harav minachamas asher b'chapem. Then what it says about Ninveh further, that they all turned away from their bad ways, and from all that which was stolen, they returned. Mai minachamas asher b'chapem. What does it mean, the chamas, the gzela that they took, that was in their hands? Amar Shmuel, afilu gazel meresh bano b'bira mikaka kol bira kula machzir meresh lebalov. Even if they stole a beam from their neighbor, and they built the house or building with it, they knocked down the building, or at least removed that particular beam, putting the whole house in jeopardy, and they returned it. That's the length they went to in terms of returning all the gzela. The halacha is, we have something called takanas meresh. Takanas meresh is a takana brought down the Gemara, that normally when you steal an object, you have to return that object. But if you steal the object and built an entire building with it, we're not going to make you knock it down and return it because nobody's going to do tshuva. So to give a person a Pesach to do tshuva, we say, you know what, you can leave the beam in there so you don't ruin it. We're going to still allow you to do tshuva, just pay back the money. Anshin Ninveh took it a step further. They did not listen to the takana. They did the best way, the best form of tshuva. They returned the actual object, even though it really destroyed their houses and binyanim. Amar Rav Ada Bar Ava, Adam Sheish B'yodo Aveira, who misvada Veina Chozerbo. A person has an Aveira. He does Vido, he confesses, I did something wrong. I ate a cheeseburger. But he doesn't do tshuva, though. Veinu chozerbo. Rashi explains, what does that mean? So this example the Gemara is referring to is gezel, Rashi says. A person does gezel, and he doesn't return the object here. Lamahu doma, what's he similar to? La'adam shetofes sheretz biyad. The person's holding a sheretz. Sheretz is something that's tamei. Shafilu tova b'chol miyamos sheba'olam, lo'al sebo tefila. Even if he goes to the mikvah in every single water you could possibly find, even if it goes into every single one, you're not going to be tahor because you're holding the sheretz in your hand. So if you try to kapara and try to do vidoy, if you're holding the gels in your hand, it's not going to do anything. So however, zarko miyado, he throws it out of hand, empties the sheretz, or gives back the gzela, then kevin shetava barbam sa, miyad also lo tefila. All he has to do is not go into every single water. 40 sa of water is enough. He's going to become tahor. Shenemar, how do you read this pasuk here? In pasuk in Mishlei, mechas peshav u mo dev ozev yerucham. The person admits, and he leaves away the sin, and he is going to be, the rachmim will be formed. The Omer, it says further, the pasuk in Eicha, nosil vavenu el kapayim, el bashamayim. So you lift your hearts up, I guess you return, that's a notion of giving back, you return it back to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Then the Gemara quotes further from the Mishnah, omdu p'tfila moridin l'fnei ha-teva. Zaken, they would stand during davening, the chazm would go up in the front, Taner banan amdu b'tfila, they'd stand and daven. Afal pishayisham zakin v'chacham. So even though there might be a person who is a zakin and a chacham, ein moridin lefnei ateva el adam haragil. When it came to leading the tzibur and davening, though, before we were talking about who says the divrei kivshonim, the words of the musar, that was a zakin and a chacham. Now we're talking about in terms of davening. In this case, we don't go based on a zakin chacham, el adam haragil, somebody who knows how to daven, who's regularly daven, who's comfortable with having the proper kavana, who's comfortable pronouncing the words. Yehuda Omer, what are the criteria needed for such a chazan? He asked me, Matufal ve'einlo. What does Matufal mean? So you look at Rashi, Matufal ve'einlo. This is around 10 lines up in Rashi. Yeshlo tfalim, he has like the secondary needs, but not the basic needs, it seems like. Ve'einlo b'malis parnas. He has nothing to get parnasa. Shalibo doeg alav. He's always worried about how is he going to make money. Hutarch likros makiros libo lem. He always has to call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu asking for help. Such a person is what's needed for the chazan. Back to the Gemara now. The Yeshal Yegiyah Basad, and he works hard in the field. Rashi explains, what does it mean Yegiyah? Rashi explains, Yeshal Yegiyah, Shemes Kavin Yosef B'tfilas Kshamim. Such a person is working so hard in the field, it's hard for us, who people who are in business, to ask for rain, because we don't appreciate the rain. But someone who's out there working day in, day out, and working the fields and the farms, he really needs the rain. He's going to daven harder for the rain, because he really knows what the need is for the rain. Ubesa Reikam, and his house is empty. Gemara is going to explain what that means, Besa Reikam. Uperka Na'al, Gemara will explain what that means also. Ushafel Barich, and he's also someone who's a big anav, says Rashi, he's humble. Umerutal Am, he is very much Noach Labrios, the people like him. Vieshul Ni'ima Kolo Ariv, he has a very beautiful voice. He could sing and daven nicely. Ubaki Likos Betorah V'Niyim Ksuvim, he reads Tanakh. Ulishnos B'Medjesh B'Halachos V'Gadlos, he also learned Medjesh Halacha Nagata. Ubaki b'chol ha-brachos, he knows all the brachos, kulon. So these are all the list of requirements who's qualified for being the chazan. After listing all these, Yehovu be Rabbanon Einayu b'Rabbi Yitzchak bar Ami, all the chachamim looked to Rabbi Yitzchak because he apparently had all these qualities. He was the perfect chazan.
Sounds like what the chazan says in Tefillat Misa for Yom Kippur and Shana.
The hell, yeah. Yini, yeah. So not just anybody could be a tzibur, a chazan now. So I think Gemara says on top of them in Beis, Hainu metufal, veinlo, Hainu beis areikam. Gemara had listed a couple of requirements, and two of them seemed to be extra, seemed to be the same. Metufal veinlo was someone who had very little in the house and was looking for food. And beis areikam also means someone whose house is empty, which seemingly means who has no food or no money. So Amar Rav Chizkiya says, Zehu she beis areikam min haveira. Beis areikam doesn't mean his house is literally empty of food, it means empty of sin. He hasn't sinned. He and his entire household is free of sin. That's what it means. Uparkona, that line also. What does that mean, parkona? So I'm Rabbi Zeh Shelo Yotza Shem Rab Yalduza. This is a person who never had a bad reputation. Even when he was young, he's always known to be a good kid, always behaved nicely. That's also one of the criteria needed to become a chazan. And the Gemara now quotes a pasuk that's found in Yirmiyah, Hayisali Nachalasi. I had to me a nachla portion, ke'arye biyar, like a lion in the forest, nasalai bekolo, given to me with a voice, akein tanesa, something had a beautiful voice, but I hated it. So why do you hate it if somebody had a beautiful voice? My nasalai bekolo, what does that mean, he gave to me with a beautiful voice? Amar marzutra bar tuvya, amarav, vamrile, amarav b'chi echama, amarav b'yalazar, zesh leach tzibur. This is referring to Shlech Tzibur. We're going to read the parentheses. Normally we don't read the parentheses. Here we will read the parentheses. Shlech Tzibur, hayor lefnei hateva, she'enu hagun. Shlech Tzibur, oftentimes you have someone who has a beautiful voice but doesn't have all the other requirements. He, you know, his beis isn't reikam. He's got averos. He, whatever else it might be. So such a person is, he has hayisala nachlasa, nasa like bekola. He gave to me a sweet voice. He davened well, but still the pasuk says, alkein sanesa. You hate him because he has a beautiful voice? Because all he had was a beautiful voice. He didn't have anything else. Such a person should not be davening for the Amid. Omer lefneim esrim v'arba brachos shemona esrei shebichol yom u'mos v'leim o'tsheish. So you have the 24 brachos. How do you come about to the 24 brachos? Well, we have the 18 brachos of every single day, and we added the 6 additional brachos special for Tanis Tzibur. Ask the Gemara. Hani sheish sheva haven. K'ditan, there weren't 6, there were 7 brachos, because our Mishnah told us, if you remember from the Mishnah yesterday, it said, Al Shvi Su Omer. What do we say as a seventh bracha? Omer Baruch Merachim Al Arts. So we see from here that we have 7 brachas, not 6 brachas. It should really be 25 brachas, not 24 brachas total. Omer V'Nachman Bar Yitzchak, my Shvi's. What does it mean, the 7th bracha? Shvi's Larucha. What it means is the 7th bracha of Shmona Esrei, the normal Shmona Esrei, is going to be extended. Not that we're having a separate bracha, a 7th extra bracha, but the 7th bracha that already exists is going to be extended. Kidetanya Begoel Yisrael and Goel Yisrael. That's the 7th one, right? Yeah, it's the 7th one. 3 brachas in the beginning. Ata Kadosh, Ata Chonin, Slach Lanu. No, it's not the 7th bracha. May the 7th of the middle brachas.
No, what this is saying is that it's 7 from where we start extending it. We started extending it by Goel Yisrael, so from that point it was 7, including Goel Yisrael. It's really 6.
We start extending Goel Yisrael, and we said the 7th bracha. So this
it said 7, it said a bracha by Goel Yisrael counted as 1, and then in addition to that it counted 6 more.
But so the 7th one though, we're going, so Goel Yisrael, we say this all before Goel Yisrael? Or Goel Yisrael, we say this before this?
So we're saying it's, no, we said Goel Yisrael, then we said 6 more, and the Mishnah called the 2nd, the 3rd, the 4th, all the way up to the 7th. So what it's saying here is that it's 7th from when we started extending it, it's 6 new brachas. Goel Yisrael is part of Shmona Esrei. That's not one of the
right.
So it's 6. It's 6 from when we extend it. It's 7 from when we extend it.
I see. Okay. So the first one is really going to be the one added into Goel Yisrael.
No, the one added into the Goel Yisrael that counts as part of Shmona Esrei.
No, I understand that, but which? So like, we'll see for the Nusach. I mean, the Mishnah listed 7, even though it's not really 7. The Mishnah listed 7 of them. Now, one of these 7 is not an extra bracha. One of these 7 is really just an extension of Goel Yisrael.
Right.
So which one's part of the extension?
The first one.
Right, exactly. That's what you said. The first one is, that's what the Brisa says now. Kidatanya, Begol Yisrael, Marich, Ubechosma, Hu Omer. Misha ana es Avram Bahar Moria hu yanel schem vayishma bakol tzaschem hayom hazeh baruch gol Yisrael. So that's the first one listed in the Mishnah, but that's not really a separate bracha. That's really part of Goel Yisrael. And then the additional six ones, those are extra ones. Okay. And the Brisa continues, after you say Goel Yisrael, hein onim achrav amen. You say amen. V'chazan ha-kneses omer lehem tiku b'nei Aaron tiku. Then the chazan would say, now please, b'nei Aaron, blow the shofar. They blow the shofar. V'chazan over omer, then they would say, that's the first additional bracha now. Baruch zocher nishkachos v'hein onim achrav amen. This time they do a true instead of a tkia. Then v'chein chol bracha bracha be'achas omer tiku b'chachas omer hariu. Same to every bracha, they'd alternate between the tkia and the true. So b'med v'mamurim, when is this all true? What we just said, b'gvulim, outside the base of Mikdash, avab b'mikdash, in the base of Mikdash itself, ain okein, this is not what they would do. V'fi she'ein onim amen b'mikdash, we mentioned this yesterday, they would not recite amen in the base of Mikdash. How do you know you do not say Amen in the base of Mikdash? Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Kumu barchu es Hashem lokechem." Stand up and bless Hashem. Min haolam ad haolam vayvarchu Shem kvodcha umerumam al kol bracha v'tila. You should say a satila on each bracha. We'll see what that means in a second. What nusach are you supposed to say? You're supposed to bless a kash bracha in his kavod. Yacha chol brachos kulan lotei ela tila achas. One might think you just say one tila, one praise to Hashem on all brachas. Meaning, after all Shemoneh Esrei is over, you say one tila. Tamalomer umeromim akol bracha v'tila akol bracha. Tein lo tila. Meaning, you're supposed to say tila after each bracha, just like we say amen after each bracha in the shul. So do you say some form of tehila after each bracha in the Beis Hamikdash? So v'el b'mikdash ma'al omer. What would you say if not amen? What else would you say? What was the tehila that was said after each bracha? Says the Gemara, omer. Ma'al omer. Baruch Hashem Elokim Elokei Yisrael min ha'olam ad ha'olam baruch. Goel Yisrael. V'hein omrim achrav baruch shem kvod malchuso li'olam v'ed. That's what they would say. Instead of omer, they'd say baruch shem kvod malchuso li'olam v'ed. And then v'chazan ha'kneses omer lem tiku ha'kohanim b'nei ha'aron. Tiku, this tells the kohanim to go blow the shofar. V'choz omer misha anas avram b'har moriyahu yaneschem v'ashmar b'kol tzahaschem v'hayom hazeh baruch ha'shem l'okei Yisrael. Zocher nishkachos. V'hein omrim achrav baruch shem kvod malchuso li'olam v'ed. So same thing as before, just now this is a brisa about the base of Mikdash. Same exact structure, except now we're saying Baruch Shem after the bracha, and before we were saying Amen after each bracha. So this is the whole Seder of Tainus. This is what Rabbi Chalafta would do in Tzipori. Rabbi Chananya ben Tardin b'sikinani. And he would do this type of Seder Tainus in another place called Sikani. Uch shebo davar lefnei chachamim. And when chachamim got wind of what was going on in these different places, amru lo hayu noagin kein el b'shari mizrach u'bahar bayis. We don't say this. We don't say Baruch Shem after bracha unless we're in the base of Mikdash in the eastern gate where they were davin. V'ist amri. There are others who say kidetanya. Because every day of the on Tainus, shemona esrei shebichol yom, 18 of every single day. Most of Alein Od Sheish, they'd add another six. Avosan Sheish Heichan Amrun. And where would you add these additional six brachas? Bein Goel Lirofe Chole. Between those Goel, these two brachas, that's where you would add these additional six. Umarch Begula. And the bracha of Gula, like we said above, was going to be elongated as well. Vein Omnim Achrav Amen. They would say Amen Akol Bracha Baracha. V'chach Hayinogin Begvulin. Abba Mikdash Hayomim Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Min Halom Ad Olam. Baruch Goel Yisrael. This is the same thing before, just a different way of presenting it. Because we don't say Amen after the bracha on the base of Mikdash. Okay, so pretty much the same as before. Well, they didn't say Amen, you're saying. So that's what, let's see. Can't imagine they wouldn't say Baruch Shem. I see it doesn't say that. This version is a little bit abridged than the previous one. But I imagine Pashtus is that they would say Baruch Hashem afterwards. Okay, then the Gemara says that the two dots towards the bottom, Tanur Banim. Aharishonos who omer Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael min ha'olam ad ha'olam Baruch Hashem Yisrael v'hein onim acharav Baruch Hashem kvod ma'achus ol yamed. I'm repeating again a similar type of brisa. V'chazan ha'knesses omer tiku v'kanim tiku v'chozer omer mishanas avram avit b'har moriyah hu yane aschem v'yishma kol ta'aschem ha'yom hazeh v'ashni omer Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael min ha'olam ad ha'olam Baruch Zochen shkachos v'hein onim acharav Baruch Hashem kvod ma'achus ol yamed v'chazan ha'knesses omer heiru b'nei Aaron heiru Woman Mishanas Avosenu Ayams of Huyaneshem, Vishma of Kol Taskim, Hayamazab, Hema Marim, the token Marim. This time they do Chua Tkia Chua, Vahemacha Bracha Bracha, Bachas Omer Tiku, Bachas Omer Heru, Ad Shigmor, as Brachas Kulan until you finish all the Brachas, Vichach Hinnig, Rebbe Chalafta, Bitsipari, Rebbe Chanania, Ben Tardin, Misikani, Uch Shabadavar, Itzel Chachabim Amru, Lo Hayu, Noagin Kane, El Bashar Mizach, Ubahar Abayas. Okay, so pretty quick daf. We can jump to, let's go to two lines just to get to the top of the next page, just to get started. It's a few lines, we have plenty of time. Yehuda Omer lo haya tzarach lomer zichronos. So Yehuda argued in the Mishnah that one does not need to say zichronos and shofros, rather he had two other brachas that were said instead of those. So it says the Gemara, Amar Reb Ada demin Yafo, came from Yafo, my time of the Yehuda. What was the reason Yehuda felt that you don't say zichronos and shofros? Says the Gemara, Lefishein Omrim Zechonos Veshofros, El Barash Shana, Ubiyovos, Ubishas Machana. There are only three times you say these, so you say the brachas of the Zechonos Veshofros, Rosh Shana, Yovel, and Milchama. So Yovel and Rosh Shana, we know already from the Mishnah and Rosh Hashanah. We saw this. How do you know Shasa Milchama? Let's go through the Rashis on top here. El Barash Shana, Kedamin Barash Shana. The Mishnah of Rosh Shana told us, After Zayin, Armulafara Malchios Veshonos. Ubiyovel, we also know you say Shofros Zechonos. That Yovel has the same halacha as Rosh Hashanah. So that's the source for those two, that you say Zichronos and Shofros for both Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. What about Shas Milchama, says Rashi? Dichsiv v'chisavo milchama b'artzachem al har tzar tzor eschem. When the milchama comes into your land, lo yadina mina isparish domer brachas pesukim alchios Zichronos Shofros b'shas milchama. So Rashi doesn't really know the source where he's supposed to say this. He quotes a pasuk that you're supposed to daven when there's a mechama, but never is there a source in the pasuk that you're supposed to say shofros and zichronos. So I wonder if others give such an answer. Let's see what they say here. So it says it to Evan, and the fact that the pasuk says it v'nizkartem lashon zechira, that's meant to be zichronos. Okay, so it's not clear from Rashi exactly the source, but that's the halacha anyways. Okay, so we'll stop here again quite early, but quick stop. Everyone should have a good Shabbos and a good Chodesh tomorrow.